The Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio, and now, literally now, is the best time to become a Goal Line Club member. Why is that, Ryan?
Because tomorrow, on November 18th, it is Give to the Max Day, Luke. And what does that mean for the Goal Line Club?
Well, that means that you're actually going to be able to become a member for 2021 and 2022. And I think it actually doubles your Gopher score points. So literally bonus upon bonus upon bonus. So if you want to support Gopher football, make sure that you sign up for the Goal Line Club on Give to the Max Day, November 18th. And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to There Were No Changes Made in the Offense This Week podcast, as Minnesota will head to Bloomington, Indiana this weekend to take on the Indiana Hoosiers, a 2-8 football team that PJ Fleck says they're treating like an 8-2 football team, Luke. So there's it's been an interesting week listening to the head coach a couple of times, listening to the coordinators here on Wednesday. And as always, if you want to read what they had to say, and including watch what PJ Fleck said as well, you can head to GopherIllustrated.com.
Okay, so I didn't get a chance to see the press conference, but I take it it's not inspiring a lot of confidence that there's going to be any changes in the offense.
No, Sanford's still here. Tanner's still your quarterback. Now, again, if they were to make a change at quarterback, I don't know if Fleck would address it, if he wouldn't address it, but from what I've heard behind the scenes, I would expect to see Tanner Morgan again this week. And so that's where it was an interesting theme that both Fleck and Sanford kind of have the same narrative of, and they're kind of putting the focal point of the passing game issues pie, which there's four succinct chunks of this pie. And we spent an hour talking about it last week. So if you couldn't stomach it to go back and listen to it post Iowa, I think you're emotionally ready to go do so. Go give it a listen. But it is the quarterback, it is the offensive coordinator, it's the pass catchers, and it's the pass protection. And from listening to Fleck, I literally asked him, like, how do you get Tanner to bounce back? And I'm thinking to myself, well, if it's not Tanner this week, he's going to address it one way or another, but he just talked about something about getting all the orange juice out of an orange, and then you flush it, and then you move it away, and he's resilient. And he said about four or five times in his press conference that, you know, he said the word catch radius, and he put it on the pass catchers, and then listening to Sanford today, I mean, again, I asked him, the passing game hasn't gotten off the ground. So if it does here in the next few games, what's the biggest change? And that's where, again, he came back to the pass catchers. And it's like they're putting so much emphasis, and I find it interesting, and right, wrong, whatever it may be, that's up to you. But they're putting so much emphasis on the lack of consistency at receiver, with Ottman Bell being out and in, with Thalen Wright being out and in, with Daniel Jackson being out and in. Sanford said today, if Michael Brown Stevens has been our most consistent receiver, that kind of tells you what you need to know here. And it's just like, yes, but it's also like, It's not just them. And so that's where it's kind of frustrating to hear. Now, again, Sanford said today, you know, he goes, I don't know that Tanner's due, but I mean, he's had a great week. It's like, well, what else do you expect him to say? You know, Luke, it's going to be an interesting weekend here in Bloomington.
Okay. That is a lot to unpack, and I'm not sure we want to unpack it because I don't think people want us to unpack it because we already kind of did. But the fact that they're trying to seemingly blame this on the receivers.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it's not just the receivers, and you and I agree, but it's like, it's interesting. Like, that's the thing that comes out of their mouth first.
Yeah.
Is the receivers in this. Now, I talked about it last week. You talked about it last week. Derek Burns talked about it last week. The receivers were bad. They dropped passes that they shouldn't have dropped. But it's like, I asked Fleck about that 3rd and 7 throw. He was like, well, Chris should have caught it. And I'm like,
dude, no.
What? Like, It's fascinating to me that, like, if it was criticism for a start one quarterback, like Alex Padilla last week, if he wanted to play well, like, I think everybody gets it, but it's like, why don't you think you can say something negative about your quarterback is fascinating to me to kind of unpack, but.
Honestly, this is befuddling to me because that throw, by the way, you did a great job on your GIF rewind. It's one of my favorites. Every week, one of my favorites that you put out.
I'm just glad you actually listened or read something that I wrote. No, I'll keep going.
Okay, no, but when you look at the GIF of that throw, like, there is no way he catches that. I take that back. Could he make a catch on that? Sure. I think Chris Wattman-Bell's capable, but he's got to, like, time it exactly perfect. And the fact that it's that high, like, that's not good. Maybe you could say from a timing perspective of, like, when the throw came out, it would be fine. But, it was not on target. And, no, Chris Wattman-Bell's good, but he's not that good. He's also not, like, 6'8".
Well, here's what I'll say is Fleck also said they've had some things open in the past game, but they just haven't pulled the trigger at quarterback. So I took that and ran, and I said to Mike Sanford today, your head coach said you had some things open in the passing game the last few weeks, but you haven't pulled the trigger from the quarterback position. How do you get him confident enough? And again, I'll let you go and read. And so for all of you people out there who just think the media throws softballs, okay. All righty then. But it's fascinating because clearly there's something going on with Tanner confidence-wise, and he's not willing to chuck the ball down the field into potentially some tight windows. And for an offense that doesn't get a ton of opportunities to take the shots, you have to at least take the shots to find out if it's bad, it is what it is. If it's good, it's what it is. If it falls incomplete, well, it's better than taking a sack. So that's kind of a long-winded way to say it's been an interesting week of press conferences.
Yeah.
And we will continue to unpack it, and we'll see what happens in 2:30 in Bloomington, Indiana this weekend.
Okay, let's quickly touch on injuries. Potts out, Mo Ibrahim out. What else do we have to pay attention to?
On the Minnesota side of things, not a whole lot. As far as I know, well, one of the other things that Sanford said today was we actually have all of our receivers who are going to be playing in this game practicing this week, which – is another issue we've had with the timing. So I guess the guys are getting healthier, but it's on the Indiana side where it's as bad as it's been.
Yeah.
Compared to Minnesota, where Michael Penix, their second team all Big Ten quarterback from last year, was really a catalyst for that team, sparking success. He's been out for 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. I don't expect him back. They returned their number two quarterback last week in Jack Tuttle, but he returns from an ankle injury, injures his other ankle, and it doesn't sound like he's going to play. So then you're on quarterback number three, which is Donovan McCulley, which we'll get into here in a bit. But they're on their third string quarterback, who's also a true freshman. Their running back position is about as battered as Minnesota's is, which, oh, by the way, they're playing walk-ons at running back right now. Now, they might get one of their starters back who kind of makes that thing go, but it doesn't sound like my Indiana beat writer was optimistic that they could. So you're looking at walk-ons at the running back position that are playing. They're probably going to be without their best defensive player, which is an All-American cornerback from last season. So this is an Indiana team that's battered. This is an Indiana team that's lost six straight. And they're about as injured as Minnesota is. So it kind of just is at this stage of the season where you're at in mid-November, Luke.
All right, so let's take a real quick look at when the Gophers are on offense. We've kind of already started to touch on this based on the feedback you've gotten from some availability. But the Gophers on the season are averaging 25.5 points per game, 365 yards of total offense, 160 yards through the pass, 205 on the ground. Conversely, Indiana is giving up 32 points per game, 376 yards of total offense, 235 through the air, 141 on the ground. Ryan, this seems like an Indiana defense coming into the season that was expected to be quite strong, maybe hasn't lived quite up to expectations, but I think in large part that is partially due to the fact that this offense just has not been able to get going for an Indiana in any way, shape, or form.
It reminds me of like a 2015 type of Jerry Kill team where the defense starts out strong, but by the end of the year, the offense has just been so bad that the defense has been on the field for so many plays that they're just getting beaten down and they're getting beaten down and they're playing 70, 80 snaps a game. And that just ends up taking a toll on you. And that's where I mentioned their All-American cornerback, Taiwan Mullen, hasn't played significantly since late September. They got a linebacker by the name of Micah McFadden. He's really good. He's their best pass rusher with a bullet. He's got 28 pressures on the year. Next closest guy for Indiana's got 14, so he essentially doubles the next guy. But from talking with my Indiana guy about them, it's just he thinks it's like I do. It's just an accumulation of reps at this point. The defensive line, he noted last week, was getting moved around by a Rutgers team that has in a Rutgers offensive line that I don't know is particularly good, especially, I don't know if you saw this today, Pro Football Focus has Minnesota graded as the number one offensive line team unit in college football.
I did see this.
And it only makes everything hurt so much more. But, I mean, this is just, it's a run defense that hasn't been stout. I mean, Rutgers ran for 218 yards last week. Michigan ran for a buck 88 the week before. They are a good defense. I just don't know if they have the horses, and I don't know where their mindset is. They've lost six straight games, and they just got blown out by a Rutgers team at home. So, in theory, it'll be the same formula it's been all season, because as Derek lays out that he won't even touch on anymore, it's just the same formula. It's going to be ground and pound, and you mix it in with the passing game. But I can assure you, when you look at the stats, mm-hmm. it looks a little bit advantageous for Minnesota to be able to move the ball on the ground.
Okay, yeah, so obviously ground and pound, you know, Kai Thomas, Bucky Irving. I'm curious if we're going to see anybody else get carries this week. I'm not trying to say that Minnesota is just going to completely dominate this game, but, you know, both Bucky Irving and Kai Thomas have seen a lion's share of work this year as freshmen. They neither have really seemed to hit a wall yet, but I'm interested to see if they'll mix it up a little bit in this game to get some other people some carries in as they see towards the end of the season.
What is that even? So are you just kind of with a long-winded question saying you want to see Derek LeCaptain?
No, I'm just kind of excited. Do you think we get to see Derek LeCaptain? I'm kind of hoping we do.
Well, to be fair, Derek LeCaptain has played like four snaps on offense the last few weeks. So he's been out there, hasn't been getting any carries, but he's been out there in the Kramer package. But if Derek LeCaptain is getting carries, I think everybody's happy, because Minnesota's probably got a two-score lead in the fourth quarter on an Indiana team. But it... I mean, this offense is just, I'm at the point of the season now where I'm just like, I don't know what to expect from this offense.
No.
You know, it's either 30 plus points or they lay an egg. Or it's like last week where you score 22, where it's the first kind of game where it's been in between, where you had some highs, you had more lows, and you lost the game. And it's just like, I don't know what we'll see. Because if the offensive line comes and shows up like they did against Iowa, well, then Minnesota's going to win running away.
That's the question.
If they come out and show up like they did 2 weeks ago against Illinois, Minnesota's liable to lose a football game. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to the Minnesota Moving Company up front, of which, by the way, I'm sure you also saw that the Angry Ginger, a.k.a. Cokeith, is the number one rated tight end in Power 5 football right now.
Yeah, according to Pro Football Focus, right? Yeah, absolutely. He deserves it. He literally deserves that honor, no question. It was great to see him get a target, and let's continue to feature him in the pass game. Love to see if he gets a shot in the NFL, because I think he deserves it. You know, there have been run blocking tight ends that have definitely found a path in the NFL. Would love for him to get that opportunity. Definitely think he deserves it. And man, just the fact that he's been able to largely stay healthy has been awesome this season, after, you know, a couple of years where he's been injured. So
it's where the whole concussion thing had been coming around, and he's been able to stay healthy, and hasn't been nicked up as much. And I think we can both agree, Luke, in saying thank God for his mother and that genetic pool, because we know it doesn't come from dad.
And you were just trying to pick a fight here. That's just brilliant.
I can assure you, I'm going to be getting an angry phone call later today.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect anything less.
I love that you're trying to pick a fight over a podcast with a single listener.
Well, him and I can break bread and have a couple of beverages here soon.
I know, absolutely. Okay, so just to wrap up on offense, expect the ground and pound. See if we can wear down this Indiana defense. And
then Minnesota's got to be able to hit their shots in the passing game. Because in theory, it's going to be Ottman Bell. It's going to be Daniel Jackson. It's going to be Michael Brown Stevens. I'm just like, Daniel Jackson's been in the doghouse, and I'll say this, the more I've kind of learned about it, the kid has to do everything right off the field. I'm not talking, you know, I mean, it is kind of disciplinary, but it's not like behavioral things. So,
sure.
You know, he's got to continue. I mean, he's had a hell of a fall with his best friend dying, and they were incredibly, incredibly close.
Wait, are you talking about Dalen Wright or Daniel Jackson?
I'm talking about Dalen Wright.
Yeah, you said, I think you said Daniel Jackson, so just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm talking about Dalen Wright, and then since everybody's favorite player who never plays, and so why he's not playing, he's got to do everything right off the field before they're going to put him on it.
Yeah, and generally speaking, I don't mind that they have accountability and they set kind of that standard, right? Because it's somewhat of what PJ practices, what he preaches, in that, you know, this is a life program, not just a football program. So I appreciate that to a certain extent. Real quick, Ryan, I do want to give you just a couple a quick things or quick questions. So off the top of your head, who would you like to see in this passing game either get more targets or be a more focal point of the offense?
I mean, the obvious answer is Chris Ottman-Bell, because good things happen when you throw him the football, but it's obvious that the opposing defensive coordinator's game plan throughout Big Ten play has been, we're going to take Chris Ottman-Bell away, and we're going to make Daniel Jackson and Michael Brown Stevens beat us. And we've seen the last 2 weeks hasn't gone well. Too many drops, mm-hmm. not crisp enough routes, not enough contested catch wins. So I think I'm going to turn your question around and say this. I'd love to see Daniel Jackson and Michael Brown Stevens have their best games of the season, whether that's running, whether that's catching the easy balls that are thrown to you, not having concentration drops, and heaven forbid they win a contested catch. Now, again, I understand they're second, third year players, but if this passing game is going to take a step forward, you know, like the offensive coordinator and the mm-hmm. quarterback or the head coach have said, the receivers have to start helping out the quarterback more. Now, again, you heard us lament about the quarterback all last podcast. He's not without blame, obviously, but I'd love to see Daniel Jackson and Michael Brown Stevens make some key contested catches in this game.
All right. For me, I really want to see them target the tight end position more, whether that be Kokeef or Chris or Span Ford. I think this is an underutilized position. I know they have had some intentional targets towards these guys, but continue to keep them in. And I'd just love to see them run a little bit more natural play action. That's my hope in the offense this week. Any parting thoughts on offense before we get to another ad?
No, I'll save those for the keys to the game.
Again, the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, we mentioned this in the cold open that tomorrow, November 18th, is Give to the Max Day. So if you want to be a part of the Goal Line Club for the first time or renew, tomorrow's the best day to renew or sign up for the very first time to be a Goal Line Club member. And what kind of events could these people be a part of or save money on if they join the Goal Line Club?
Well, first of all, if you become a member on Thursday while you're listening to this, go to goallineclub.org and become a member. It's $100. Not only are you a member for the rest of this year, you also get the next for 2022 there. And that can get you into these events like tailgating at a reduced price. You can go to the luncheon coming up on Friday before Wisconsin. There will be Thomas Barber there, a Gopher favorite over the years, a Gopher football coach there to walk you through some of the X's and O's of what they do and why they do it. Mike Grimm will be there emceeing, and the Fargo Flash and Justin Kanzemius will be there as well. Plus, you got the tailgate next Saturday. And that's where it looks like it's going to be a 2:30 or a 3:00 kick. Well, I can assure you, looking out my window right now, it's currently lightly snowing and like 35 degrees with winds at 20 miles an hour. So if you don't want to go freeze your little tail off in the tailgate lots there, you can come hang out with us at either 11:30 when it opens or 12, depending on what time the kickoff is. Enjoy unlimited beverages, adult or not adult, Tony's Diner. And again, you can come at 11:30. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn. You can come into a warm environment, drink all you want, eat all you want, and come see if Minnesota can finally get over the hump and get the axe back in Minneapolis there. So, Luke, Give to the Max Day, November the 18th, Thursday. Go to goallineclub.org and become a member now.
Let's take a look at when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Indiana is averaging 18.6 points per game, 307 yards of total offense, 188 through the air, 118 on the ground. And conversely, Minnesota is giving up 19.2 points per game, 296 yards of total offense, 196.8 through the air, and 99.9 on the ground, Ryan. This Indiana offense has been hampered. We alluded to this already, even in the offense, into the offensive preview. Obviously being down Pinnix doesn't help. This obviously has impacted, Ty Freivogel's production. He only has one touchdown on the year. This offense in general has really, really struggled. And frankly speaking, it wasn't a huge surprise, but it wasn't probably a little bit of a surprise for Indiana fans.
Yeah, and it's the question I think all Indiana fans have is it the injuries or is it the offensive coordinator? And it's almost like it seemingly is a very similar conversation to many Minnesota fans are having is it the injuries where you're on running back 5 and 6 and have been for 5, 6 games of the season here? Or is it the offensive coordinator? Is it both? That's the question. But like I said, I don't think you're going to see Michael Penix on Saturday. I don't think you're going to see Jack Tuttle on Saturday. And that's where you're going to be left with the true freshman who is talented in Donovan McCauley. Passing game stats for him through 3 games, not great. 42% completion percentage on 78 attempts. Now, he hasn't thrown any picks, but he lost 2 fumbles last week. And he is a mobile quarterback. He's got double-digit rushing attempts the last 4 weeks. Rossi expanded on that today. They're going to try to do what they've done most of the season. And that's when they face mobile quarterbacks, try to keep him in the pocket. And I agree with him because if McCauley beats you with his arm, so be it. But you can't let the mobile quarterback escape. Now, he's got some talented pass catchers he's throwing into, including the 2020 Big Ten Receiver of the Year in Ty Freivogel. It just really hasn't gotten off the ground for him this year. They also got a tight end by the name of Peyton Hendershot. He's pretty dang good. They both have over 40 receptions. But then another thing that the Hoosier beat writer said to me was, the offensive line has largely been meh. They've just been okay. Their left tackle per Pro Football Focus is their best player. But the rest of their offensive line, when you look at their grades so far this year, are all around 60. And what does 60 mean? 60 in Pro Football Focus terms means average. 60 is the epitome of an average football player. And that's where the rest of the line is, a couple points here or there within that. So you have an average offensive line. You're on quarterback 3. Oh, by the way, your running backs are out, including your top back and Stephen Carr. And they've been going running back by committee with walk-ons of Davion Irvin Poindexter and Chris Childers. So you're on the walk-ons at running back. You're in your third string quarterback. You have an offensive line that largely hasn't been too good, and you haven't been able to get it to your pass catchers. So it's going to be a little bit different than a game plan than it was last week. But again, it kind of reminds me of the Colorado game where you have a young mobile quarterback. And if you can just keep him in the pocket, because they will do some designed runs for him, they're going to try to do some bootlegs and some sprint outs, some different things like that. If you can just have him beat you with his arm, it seemingly appears to be a good day for Minnesota.
It is once again time for Gopher Math. So if you pay taxes, just for the record, I think all of you probably pay taxes, it's probably in your best interest to make sure you have a plan of how you're going to save money on taxes. And that's where Ayers Rock Planning can come and help you. So if you want a personalized tax plan, and if you want a tax professional that's going to come to you with a plan rather than going and just using some software to give you some ideas on how to save money, get that personalized advice from Ayers Rock Planning. Go to ayersrockplanning.com. Go to Ayers Rock Plan, slide into the DMs there. They can help you out. Obviously, any way you can save money on your taxes is going to be better for you, not in the short term, but also in the long term. So again, Ayers Rock Planning can be your tax consultant. So Ryan, what is our Gopher Math question for this week?
So for this week, the question is Tanner Morgan career passing yards versus Indiana, plus the years since Indiana last beat Minnesota, divided by the total number of Indiana players selected in the first round of the NFL draft. So you're going to have to do some research on that one. And as always, 2 free months of Gopher Illustrated on the line. get you into mid-January at this point. And I'd also tell you, for those of you, and I'm going to start to tease it now because it's next week, we are going to be having a Black Friday sale, and it is going to be the best deal of the entire season. So if you want to get behind the paywall, if you want to make sure you're getting a heck of a deal, you want to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck, you're tired of me talking about it, you're tired of me referencing the Gopher Illustrated message board, which is where I put everything and I don't tweet it out, stay tuned for Black Friday, Luke.
All right, let's get to some facts and figures for this game, Ryan. The first facts and figure we probably should figure out is, what is the over under on the time it takes for my mom to call and be like, do you have a cold?
I would say over under 14 seconds, because she knows her little Luke's voice, especially when it's healthy.
So just for the record, we should probably make sure that we say, this is from when we upload. So I don't think she's going to get within 14 seconds. So you're both guessing when she's going to listen and also when she's going to call me.
I would say Thursday night she'll call you, but she'll be 14 seconds into the podcast.
14 seconds into the podcast.
She's going to know immediately. That's the whole mom instinct thing.
I know. Okay. I think that I'll try my very best to report back on this. Try to remind me to bring it up. I think that's a funny idea, though. Okay. So for this game, the Gophers are a 7.5-point favorite on a 43.5 over-under. Oh, sorry, game total. 43.5 game total. On the season, the Gophers are 6-4. They're 5-4-1 against the spread. This is really interesting, Ryan. Indiana is 2-8 on the season. They are 2-8 against the spread as well. I didn't do the homework to see if their record absolutely matches their against the spread. But interestingly enough, this game again will be on BTN on November 20th at a 2:30 kickoff here in the Central Time. On the season, also worth noting, Indiana is 0-7 in conference play. They have yet to win a conference game. Taking a quick look, Ryan, at the weather for this 2:30 kick, the weather should be pretty nice for football, really. It's going to be about 50 degrees with about 12 miles an hour for kick, a mostly cloudy day. And if the game concludes somewhere around 6, the feels like temperature will be close to just under 40, but the actual temperature will be 43. Again, 9 miles an hour of wind. So,
looks like a pretty decent day to me.
I mean,
especially for late November in the Midwest.
Yeah, for sure.
I think 50 degrees and not terrible winds, I'd take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a ton of wind. Shouldn't play a huge factor. Almost little to no precipitation in Bloomington. So I think generally, yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day for football. The sun will set about 4:36 p.m. there. So enjoy that game and under the lights if you're making the venture out to Bloomington, Indiana. So, Ryan, what are your keys to the game?
My number one key is going to be get touchdowns and not field goals, because when Minnesota's offense is at their best under PJ Fleck, they're scoring touchdowns in the red zone and not kicking field goals. Last week against Iowa, prime example. Why don't you win? 3 trips into the red zone, 0 touchdowns. 3 field goals, 3 points instead of 7 points. You're not going to consistently beat Iowa. And if Minnesota tempts fate again this same week with that same recipe of get into the red zone and you're kicking field goals and not getting touchdowns, it could be a long day for the Gophers. But that's when you kind of look at this from a macro or a micro perspective, Indiana's defense is a huge reason why they were so successful last year. But they've just been getting run down. I mean, I talked about Taiwan Mullen, their All-American corner, hasn't played in over a month. This is a guy who, again, was such a huge part of what they were doing. They've had other corners that are banged up. Now, their best player on defense is number 47 linebacker Micah McFadden. He's been sensational. He's their number one pass rusher. He's been really good. But the run defense hasn't exactly been stout, especially in conference play. They're 11th overall. And when you look at the last few weeks, when Rutgers runs for 218 yards on you and Michigan almost gets 200 yards on you, I think it tells you what the recipe is going to be here. Now, this is a sound defense, and that's been the calling card for Indiana when they're competitive in football games, when they're winning football games. It's going to come back to their defense. But I just can't help but wonder how worn down they are because of how many plays they've had to be on the field because their offense has been so bad. So, like I talked about, I don't think the game plan is going to be much different for Minnesota than it's been all year, and that's ground and pound and continue to do body blow after body blow after body blow. Now, we'll get to the passing game a little bit later here, but the Gophers have to find success on the ground here. And once they get into the red zone, you cannot stall out. You need to get 7 points and not three. Defensively, my key to the game is going to be keep Donovan McCulley in the pocket. Now, I mentioned it, talked about it already. Indiana's offense has been dreadful. Well, some of that is because their second team all Big Ten quarterback, Michael Penix, has been out. But even when he was in, he wasn't very good at all in September. Jack Tuttle took over. He gets knocked out by an ankle injury, returns last week, gets knocked out with an ankle injury due to the other foot. He doesn't sound like he's going to be available from what Tom Allen said this week. So that leaves you with the talented true freshman that is Donovan McCulley. Now, the passing stats for the young man, 42% completion percentage on 78 attempts. Now, he doesn't have an interception so far, but he had two turnovers last week where he fumbled the ball twice and he lost it. He's a guy that Indiana wants to move outside the pocket. They're going to use design quarterback runs for him. He's got double-digit rushing attempts in each of his last four games, but you're going to see him on boot outs, sprint outs, rollouts, trying to get him in space against defensive linemen and linebackers. So if he doesn't see anything down the field, he can just use his athleticism to get away. Well, the issue with all that is lack of running game. I mentioned it. They're have been a significant amount of injuries for Indiana at running back as well, including Stephen Carr. They haven't had him their last couple of games. They're 11th in conference play in rushing yards. That's fourth worst. But they are rolling out walk-ons there. So their offensive line hasn't been really good outside the left tackle. You got two really talented pass catchers in Ty Freifogel and Peyton Hendershot, but you don't have had consistency around them. So if Minnesota can stop, which has largely been a very anemic rushing attack without Stephen Carr, it'll be about containing Donovan McCulley in the pocket. A mobile quarterback isn't anything new for Joe Rossi this year. You'll remember the game plans against Adrian Martinez, Talia Tungavaiola, the Colorado quarterback come to mind. And if McCulley can just beat you with his arm, well, if he's forcing it through the air, there's going to be opportunities for turnovers in this game. And then finally, Luke, it's no surprise. My last key to the game is not special teams because I've given up at this point. It's gaining some confidence in the passing game because the passing game for Minnesota is and it remains broken. It's been that way for most of the season and it didn't correct itself last week. You got the quarterback missing throws and not throwing the ball when they're open. The receivers dropping throws that are on target and I can't make a contested catch. Route combinations from the offensive coordinator aren't always conducive and the pass protection has been spotty from series to series. It's not just one thing with this passing offense. We've made that evidently clear. And I don't anticipate PJ Fleck making a change of quarterback from what he's told the media this week. So it's Tanner Morgan again. And with Wisconsin on the schedule next week, the offensive coordinator has got to get the quarterback some confidence. He has to be thinking confidently, playing confidently, going into what is arguably one of the best defenses in college football. So maybe that involves Luke. Listen, you know, hear me out here. Maybe you throw the ball more than five times in a quarter. Look, just hear me out.
Yeah.
Just hear me out. Maybe you throw the ball more than three, four times in a quarter. And maybe the quarterback knows that I'm going to get another attempt anyway. So I miss it. Oh, well, but maybe you get them into some freaking rhythm because they have to figure this thing out. If not, Minnesota probably will be able to sneak past Indiana. But there's no chance in the world they will beat Wisconsin without something resembling a passing game.
Once again, Ryan, insurance is one of those necessities in life. And if you want the broadest coverage at the most competitive price, they should go to the Burns Insurance Agency. What should they expect from the Burns Insurance Agency?
They should expect to see a man who loves to shop. Now, it's getting to be that time of the year, Luke, where we're all getting Amazon or whatever types of packages every single day because the holidays are near. That means we're buying gifts for one another. Well, the best gift you can give yourself is making sure that you are covered. And that's where the Burns Insurance Agency will shop your insurance rates and coverage for you. That's what an independent insurance agency gets to do. They have access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price for you. So let the Burns Insurance Agency do the insurance shopping for you this year, whether that be your home, your auto, your boat, your UTV, your commercial business, whatever it may be. We're getting to be that time of the year where you're starting to look at all that stuff. And if you think you're paying too much, make sure you contact the Burns Insurance Agency. If you want to do so, shoot them an email for a free quote at bill@insurancebyburns.com or check them out at insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a quick look at the around the Big Ten Conference at the games and then get to our prediction for the Indiana-Minnesota game. Do you want to do the prediction for the Indiana-Minnesota game now or wait? Leave them in suspense.
Fine. You drive the podcast today. We'll get to the predictions here in a little bit.
Okay. Let's take a look at the around the Big Ten. Probably the key game of the week is going to be number 7 Michigan State at number 4 Ohio State. This is 11 a.m. kick on ABC. Have you looked at the over-under, Ryan?
I haven't looked at the spreads or the over-unders. Or the totals.
The game total is 68.5, and Ohio State is a 19-point favorite.
Woo! Neither surprised me. Do that surprise you?
No, it's just always surprise. It's always a little bit shocking, even though I'm not surprised by the spread, that the number 7 team and the number 4 team is a 19-point spread.
I think it just kind of tells you about where Ohio State's at. Now, say what you will about all these polls. And did you see the famous quote that came out of the college football playoff rankings?
No. What was it?
All right. I'll have to find it here as you continue to tell me things. But
okay. Well, generally speaking, I think the important thing to note is even advanced stats don't like Michigan State in this game. And while everyone has, you know, they laid an egg against Purdue, obviously. But I was really shocked. If you follow Stats of War, if you look at his prediction, he gives his model gives Michigan State 3.37% chance of winning with a 48.4-23 game total in favor of Ohio State. That to me was just a little bit shocking. 3% chance. So I guess, man, everybody against Michigan State, and that's probably the way they like it, Ryan.
Probably, but I just have a hard time believing that the Ohio State offense, which just continues to click and continues to click and continues to click, and it's now not just Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, but it's Jackson Smith Njigba, who has also just stepped up, where it's like, you may be able to stop one of us, maybe two of us, but there's just no possible way. You have what we have at the skill positions, including my guy, Travion Henderson. And that's where, again, I think Ohio State's going to walk away with this thing, probably with a three-score win.
Okay, Purdue at Northwestern. I don't think anybody's surprised that Purdue is an 11-point favorite on a game total of 47.5. I would imagine that Purdue will bounce back in this game. You know, obviously we respect Northwestern. I'm just curious to see if Northwestern or if Purdue actually tries to run the ball and has success against Northwestern.
So you're hoping that Mike Allstott 2.0 is going to be able to do that. Of which, by the way, I found my quote from the college football playoff rankings last night. And that's where one of the justifications they tried to make with some of these, like Michigan over Michigan State still. Here's what the guy running the college football playoff committee said. I swear to God, and I quote, set aside the thing that actually happened. You know, set aside watching the games. It's like, so, and again, I screwed up the quote. So, quote, set aside watching the games, end quote. It's like, what do you, I just so
the
can't,
games,
I can't.
The games don't matter anymore.
And that's where I keep coming back to. Is this, are you putting the four best teams in there or the four best, most marketable teams? Because it's like, if you're going to put Michigan over Michigan State at 6-7, if you're not going to put Ohio State over Oregon at 3-4, then what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
Again, it's just about marketability, but I'm going down a rabbit hole and I complain about it enough on Parent Despair. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's where, do you think there's a way that Northwestern can possibly score enough points to keep up with what Purdue can do?
No, I don't
unless
see it.
Unless Aiden O'Connell implodes, which it is a Pat Fitzgerald defense still, and I'm sure he'll have a great game plan. I just can't see this thing going the way that the Wildcats want it to.
No, okay, to round out the 11 o'clock games, Rutgers at Penn State. Penn State's a 17-point favorite, a game total of 46. I got to imagine Penn State rolls here. Just got to imagine that they roll here without too much issue.
Yeah, there's not a lot else to say. Rutgers, yes, they scored a ton of points on Indiana last week, but they also didn't have a ton of total yards. Indiana had 6 turnovers last week.
Mm-hmm.
6 turnovers, and they lost. So Rutgers had the Wisconsin model or the early Iowa model where they're just constantly on short fields. And I don't think Penn State's going to do that, especially at Beaver Stadium.
All right. This may surprise you. Game total, 38.5. Spread, 12.5. This is the 1 p.m. game, Iowa hosting Illinois. Very similar spread in game total to the Minnesota game. I think Minnesota is actually a 14.5 point favorite at home. But Illinois will be down their head coach who tested positive for COVID, Ryan.
Yep, he was vaccinated and got his booster, so he has missed this week's game, but he'll be back for next week, and he doesn't get to have the homecoming of going back down to Iowa. So I know he's a little bummed about that. Saw his press conference yesterday, but I think Illinois is the most dangerous team probably in the West right now because I don't believe in Nebraska now that they fired their whole offensive staff.
That was such a weird move. Like, why not wait till the end of the season? Like, what did that prove?
We'll discuss it here in 2 games when we get there.
Yeah.
But with Illinois, it's their defense is playing well. Their defense can force turnovers.
Yeah.
But I just don't believe that Illinois is going to be able to manhandle Iowa.
No.
Like Minnesota was able to. Now, we saw Illinois do it to Minnesota, so are they capable of it? Certainly. But I just have a hard time believing that, even with a bye week to prepare for Iowa, that they're going to be able to get this thing done. I'll take what was the spread?
12.5 for Iowa.
Yeah, I'll take Illinois plus 12.5.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to be able to get it done.
Yeah. I do think that I do think Padilla gave them a spark, right? And that was an important spark for them because
somewhere Greek just went 6 to midnight when you said that.
He messaged me about this. He literally is like, I feel like I'm the only one that thinks they made a spark or something to that effect. I will say is Petras, if Petras had started against Minnesota, Minnesota had at least 3 sacks, and Padilla is the reason that they didn't. And I don't think there's any, I think the margin of error for Iowa is much, much slimmer with Petras and basically what they get from Padilla is more. So it's possible that Padilla struggles, but I just think it's a better fit, just his mobility in general and pocket awareness. So let's take a look at Michigan and Maryland. Here's what I'll say about this game. Game total 56.5, Michigan by 15. Man, there are so many lopsided spreads so far this week, but I feel like Maryland kind of needs some confidence going into the last game of the year against Rutgers. You don't want everything on the line, but it's probably all going to be on the line to be bowl eligible.
Well, for both teams, because I'm going to pick Michigan.
No, same.
Maryland running away, and we both predicted Penn State beats Rutgers. So if Rutgers or Maryland are going to get bowl eligibility, they're going to have to, whoever the victorious one is next week is going to be the key one there.
Right.
But it's like, Mike Loxley's defense continues to be just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Taulia is the thing that stirs the drink for the offense, even with the skill position injuries that they've had. But I have zero trust in that defense, and I think Michigan's going to put up a 38 ball.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I think Maryland, they've been up and down kind of all season, up early, then down, finally got a win against Indiana, and then 2 losses in a row. They need to at least play well going into that final game against Rutgers and have to come out of this game healthy, because that's going to be a big game to watch for Rutgers and Maryland next week for sure. Nebraska at Wisconsin, 2:30 start. Game total 42, a little higher than I expected, but I think this is largely in part because it's Nebraska playing and Wisconsin is the 9.5 point favorite in this game, Ryan. This is a 2:30 kick on ABC.
So Nebraska had the bye week to prepare, but Nebraska also had a lot of change in their bye week. They fired essentially their entire offensive staff. Scott Frost gets to a reworked deal to come back, where I wasn't in there for the conversations, but I can tell you what I think happened is the AD told Scott Frost, I can find the $20 million to get rid of you, or we can compromise. And by compromise, you can listen to your athletic director here. You can make some changes on the staff that we can sell to the public. And then we will rework your deal and you can come back for a prove it deal in 22. And that's what I think happened. But the issue is you have so much change on offense. Plus, yeah. I believe JoJo Doman, their best defensive player.
He's out for the year.
Yeah, he elected to have surgery, and so he's not going to play in either one of these two games. And so it's, is this the week that Adrian Martinez actually puts it together for 60 minutes and not 50 good minutes and then 10 bad minutes where you turn it over four times? I'm not sure. They've had a bye week to prepare for Jim Leonard, but so have a lot of different teams, and all Jim Leonard continues to do is continue to roll and roll and roll.
Okay, back to the Minnesota game. Again, this is a 2:30 kick on BTN. 43.5 game total and 7.5 favor for Minnesota. So, Ryan, why don't you go through your prediction first?
On paper, this is a game Minnesota should win. But yes, we've seen how those types of games have gone this season. Injuries have ravaged their offense, and it's just overall dreadful for the Hoosiers while their defense is getting run down from the amount of plays that they've faced in recent weeks. So I think this is a signature Fleck game in terms of ground and pound, and you get the road victory. It puts them, I believe, at then 5-3 in conference play, so they're guaranteed to finish above 500 conference play. I'm going to say Minnesota 27. I want to go like Indiana 13 because I don't really trust that offense to be able to move the ball, but I'm going to go Minnesota 27, Indiana 20. I'm going to try this for a third time. Minnesota 27, Indiana 17, because good teams win, Lou, but great teams cover.
All right. Okay. In this game, I think I respect Tom Allen and what he's been able to do with his defense historically. I think from a scheme perspective, they'll probably show up. What I want to see is, can Minnesota, are they willing to kind of take what the defense gives them or not? History has shown us that they will just pound the ball. And I think the fact that Indiana has struggled so much in giving up first downs on first and second down, it'll be enough for the Gophers. I think the Gophers will win. They will win. I'm going to go with 30 as the magical number that, you know, when they win on the road, like Colorado, I'll go 30 to 17. Gophers win. And I guess that is an over.
Well, and as I just said, good teams win, Luke, but great teams cover.
Exactly. Okay, we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank our sponsors, the Goal Line Club, Ayers Rock Planning, and Burns Insurance Agency. We'll be back to break this game down. Thanks for listening, and go Gophers.